You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Daxeryou?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
So according to Ryan Burr, Big Ten Network, he was on in Pittsburgh. I believe he's a Pittsburgh guy. He said he talked to people in Jacksonville. Ryan Burr used to be on ESPN too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where I remember that name. Ryan Burr talked to people in Jacksonville, not just people like in the city. He talked to apparently members of the front office. And they said that they were offered a first and a second from the Steelers for Trevor Lawrence. And I said, well, people don't just offer up that information. You're trying to get a market started for your quarterback. Well, you could do better than Pittsburgh. I don't know. I don't know if they could afford him. Trevor Lawrence's contract is huge.
Right.
Good God, they renamed the stadium for him for a day. It happened to be the day that we were playing him. The
Browns.
You
have to trade for the stadium, too?
I don't want their stadium.
No. Well, not the pool party?
They got
a
that
pool is going to suck in December.
You know how cold, or how nasty that pool is. I'll just build our own new stadium. I don't need their pool. It's just a bacteria trap over there.
Oh, yeah.
They really need to do something. I don't want to see the bottom half of any of them people over there when they do the cut-in on CBS. I got to look up Trevor Lawrence's contract. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, and he does have a no-trade clause as well. Although, I think Trevor Lawrence is to the point where I think he would welcome a trade somewhere else.
Oh, he has a no-trade clause? He ain't going to come here.
What if he was assured that
Miles
would stay? Yeah, that's the thing. What is staying there going
to
get him?
I don't know. Better weather. Gets to go to Europe all the time. That's fun.
Yeah, right.
You like traveling, so maybe he does too.
Yeah,
you get to go over to Europe. You get this. You're in better weather. They don't have a state income tax.
He just
wants to stay there in Jacksonville.
I wouldn't be surprised if he wants a reset.
I wouldn't be surprised if he wanted a reset either. He is due. I love the NFL. He's due $2 million this year.
Oh, nice.
He's due $2 million next year. $6 million the year after that. $11 million the year after that, and then he's due $50 million in 2029. There's a potential out there in 2029. However, against the cap, he caps for $78.5 million in 2029 and $74 million in 2030. Who knows if any of us will even be around by those times.
Well, remember, we were being told that we could afford Kirk Cousins. And, you know, when his contract was, what his contract was before, you know, he just got flat out, flat out released.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I can't do anything until
they're talking tough. They're saying that they could keep him and stuff like that. But obviously they're trying to create their own market as well. So if you could do better, say it did come down to the picks.
Yeah, but that's the thing. How could Jacksonville trade him with those cap hits in 29 and 30 that are $78 million, $74 million? Those are enormous. That's That's way bigger than even Deshaun Watson's.
Well, right now it's how does it work if you trade him in a seven? If you trade him now, it's $17 million debt. Does it all work out against you later on? So am I paying in 5 years? Am I paying $74 million against the cap? I don't think that would be possible.
That's weird to see the contracts when they're restructured,
especially because
like
there's
this.
An out and there's a void year. So if you were trading for Trevor Lawrence, I'm to assume, and maybe I'm wrong, very well could be, that if you were to trade for Trevor Lawrence, whoever has him is probably, if he plays well, the out is in 2028. You're tearing up the contract and doing a new contract in 2028. That's a new contract with a new team. Let's go to the phones. 216-474-0092. Jesse in Alliance. Hello, Jesse.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. I've been listening all morning.
Thank you.
And it's not about the safer pick, okay? It's about the quickest rebuild. And we've been rebuilding for 26 years. So to the fans, I'm tired of rebuilding. And as far as the safer pick, we depend on Shedeur Sanders turning this franchise around. Do you guys really want to put the hands of the franchise in Shedeur Sanders the way that it is right now?
Out of the quarterbacks, that's a possibility for the draft. Well, I think that he's most prepared for it.
Wouldn't you say that for any quarterback, like in any year?
I mean, yeah, but...
Like Jane Daniels, would you have really wanted, if you're Washington last year, to put the hands of your organization and that organization where they were in Jane Daniels? You would have said no.
No, but here's the thing. With Myles Garrett wanting this trade, he does give the Browns a lot of outs because we can get a lot of capital for Garrett. But like you said, Anthony, I think it was earlier this week, you want draft capital next year for Garrett. Okay, so if you trade down from 2, all right, and you get Carter or Graham at number 6, maybe pick up an extra pick this year from the Raiders, and then you get a first or second from them next year. Okay, now you're starting to rebuild. You take Howard or you take Jackson Dart, late second, third, if you have to trade up, do it. And then with the picks that you're going to get with Garrett, you trade next year's. You get Garrett picks next year and the year after. You can get a first, a third, and a first, especially from the Lions. And that, to me, is a quicker rebuild, and it is the safe choice if you want to go that way. But as far as rebuilding and safer picks and everything, I think if you're trading Garrett, he wants out of here. I mean, him going around this media tour kind of feels like when I was in high school and I got broke up by my girlfriend, and I see her passing a note to some guy in study hall. You know what I mean? Like,
what was in the note?
He kind of broke.
Did you go try to fight him like Tristan Thompson at the end of the Toronto game last night?
No, my heart was broke. Oh, kind of like Miles right now. Kind of like, we don't hate Miles for this. We don't blame Miles for this, but it's kind of like, all right, fine. You want to trade, get him out of here. Let's get, if we are rebuilding, let's get and then obviously you would have to sign a quarterback, a veteran quarterback. Yes. What do you call it? Ken, leftover potatoes or whatever with
pot roast, all that stuff.
Yeah. Chinese food roast, 2 days later.
So bring a free agent in here.
No, I like the Chinese food 2 days later.
Bring a free agent in here. Get Howard and Jackson Dart. Let them sit because you're going to punt on this year anyway if you trade Miles. I don't want to bring Shedeur Sanders in here if you're punting this year and then break his confidence. And then where are we at? We're step one. We have no extra picks.
Well, hold on just a damn minute. So wait a minute. So you wouldn't feel any bit better? Like, say they went after Trevor Lawrence. You wouldn't feel any bit better if they had Trevor Lawrence?
I would, but...
Okay, you would. So what if Miles was like, well, to hell with it, I still want out of here. I've made my bed and I want out of here. Well, then I guess that's Miles' fault. That's not... I mean, it's still our fault in the long run, but if he's just going to not back down on his word, well, okay, we've done what we could. We've made two quarterback trades for you. Technically, now we've made a third. If you ain't healthy, well, then, you know what? The hell with it. Fine. We'll get to the highest bidder, and maybe we'll still be a competitive team.
I just don't think Trevor Lawrence is the answer either, to be completely honest.
Well, then you wouldn't feel any better. Then you wouldn't feel any – that's okay to admit.
Do you think,
no, sir.
Jesse, thank you for the call and for listening.
Do you think Miles has told the Browns, I will only be traded to Philadelphia, Buffalo, Kansas City, like only teams with a great quarterback?
You can't have your cake and eat it too, man. Does he have a no trade?
But
I don't believe he has a no. I don't know if he has a no trade.
No, the way he spoke, he knew that he didn't hold all the
cards. He didn't have the cards.
Okay,
right.
Well then, I'm sorry.
I do wonder if he's just – or Washington now because they got Jaden Daniels.
Okay,
I wonder if
you can
that's
wish in one
saying.
Hand and you know what in the other. But if you don't have a no-trade clause, they're going to trade you to whoever offers the highest amount of return. Now, good teams are going to be able to offer you the highest amount.
True, but he in return can flat out tell those teams, I am not going to report there either.
Then
they're not going to trade for him, right?
Then what else am I supposed to do? I'm trying to make this work for you. If you don't want to make it work, then yeah, I guess you're just going to have to retire.
Holy cow.
Well, what else am I supposed... If you don't want to play football, then don't play football. I got to do what's best for my franchise. Again, I've already traded quarterbacks for you that you wanted at your behest. Now you're making me mad at him. He didn't say any of this stuff.
No. I'm just trying to get in his head about what he might try to do or what he might try to do behind the scenes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us right now. She's an investigator. She's from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay. What would the Browns do if they didn't take a QB at 2?
Well, first of all, I just don't see that happening. I don't know how you can have the number 2 overall pick right now and not take a quarterback. There's got to be one there that you feel good enough about that can come in here and start for your football team. I think one of those guys is probably either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. I even asked Andrew Berry at the Senior Bowl, do you see a starter in here somewhere? He said yes. So I think they have to go ahead and pull the trigger at number two and then go from there.
Well, see, that's some strong statements there, because I think people, there's a lot of people just don't, when I bring up Shedeur Sanders, I mean, they get viscerally mad at me, Mary Kay. They don't care for him. I think that some of it has to do with all the craziness and the hype. Okay, fine. If you haven't been paying that close of attention, fine. But I think he's a pretty decent quarterback. I think, and some people might say a pretty decent quarterback isn't there to take a number two, but I find their backs are up against it. I'm going to have to get comfortable with the idea.
Well, you can't live in your fears. You have to take a chance on a quarterback. This is not the Pickett, Malik Willis draft. This is a draft where there are some good quarterbacks that can come in and start games for you. Maybe you're not going to find a Jaden Daniels in here, but I would much rather, and I always go back to the 2013 draft with Geno Smith. I wrote a column saying, just take Geno Smith, take a chance on him in the first round. They had the number 8 pick. Take a chance on him and build around him and see what you can make of it. And they didn't do that. They went with Barkevious Mingo instead. Would you rather whiff on Geno Smith, or would you rather whiff on Barkevious Mingo? Remember, only about 50% of first-round picks hit anyways. If you're going to make a mistake, you might as well make a mistake trying to do the noble thing, and that is to find your next starting quarterback. And I do believe that there's one in here somewhere.
So Shedeur Sanders admitted that he was going to be meeting with the Browns. You have been around this and done all the reporting about the Browns and the type of, you know, information campaign they're going to be on now to get as much info as humanly possible. How do you think those types of meetings will go? And with all the football tape out there and done, there are no more football games to be played. Do you think Shedeur Sanders can win over the hearts and minds of the Cleveland Browns?
You know, I think he probably can. I think it probably for them is got to be down to Cam and Shedeur at this point. And let me just say that from a culture fit, from a personality standpoint, I've really liked what I've seen from Shedeur. I didn't know how I was going to feel about him and Deion and the whole thing and the drama that could potentially come with that, or what his personality is going to be like. And I have ended up liking everything that I've seen from Shedeur. I watched him move around at NFL Honors. I watched him interact with people. I've listened to interviews. I've watched his tape. And so far, I like what I see. Now, having said that, and I know we have to go fast here today, but Cam Ward hasn't been out there yet. He didn't go to the Shrine Bowl. He didn't go to the Senior Bowl. He didn't go to the Super Bowl. He wasn't on NFL Honors. So we don't know yet how he is moving and interacting and all of those things. Culture standpoint and from a personality leadership standpoint, I don't think we're going to see as much of that as we need to until we get to the combine, which is coming up very soon. But Cam just hasn't put himself out there yet the way that Shedeur has.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Veteran quarterbacks, I think that probably a lot of us don't want whoever it is that's picked maybe to have to start the season week one, but we'll see where that goes. Let me ask you this. Aaron Rodgers, his name is out there. Would they be interested in Aaron Rodgers?
I doubt it. I really doubt it for a number of reasons, including the fact that he would not come cheap. They're going to have to try to find a veteran quarterback that is not going to break the bank. And also one who's probably not going to have to mind either sitting the whole season behind your rookie or sitting most of the season behind your rookie. So you have to find someone who doesn't fancy themselves, a Pro Bowl quarterback ready to just come up off the mat and take the team to the Super Bowl. You can't really sign that guy. So there's, you know, that next tier down, I think, that you're going to be looking at. I'm going to say probably no on Aaron Rodgers.
So are there names that we should look out for when it comes to the vets?
Well, I still think that you have to keep thinking about Kirk Cousins. I know a lot of people don't love that idea, but I think that's sort of the genre that you're going to be looking for. Someone who might need to rehabilitate his career a little bit after the way things ended last season, yet someone who still has some good winning football in him. He had a shoulder injury in the last part of last season, And if he's better with the Achilles, better with the shoulder, then he could fit the bill perfectly. And he comes at the right price, $1.255 million potentially, the vet minimum for his experience level because of what the Falcons still owe him. So he's in there. There are a lot of other guys that we've heard their names, and I don't think they're going to be available, like a Geno Smith. Now Mike McDonald's out there talking about the fact that he can win a championship with him. So I don't think that that's going to be somewhere that they go. I don't know about Russell. I don't know that Russell is the right fit for this situation. There are not a lot. I mean, this is not a great, great year to be needing a quarterback.
Mary Kay Cabot with us. I've seen online some individuals attempt to report ongoing discussions about Browns and phone calls they might be receiving when it comes to Myles Garrett, but they do not have the credibility of Mary Kay Cabot. So I'll ask you, are their phones ringing off the hook right now?
I don't know about ringing off the hook, but certainly when you have a player like Myles who is out there asking to be traded, the phone is going to ring. It's Myles Garrett. And I'm sure that there are plenty of teams that feel that he can help them and get them over the top and be their final piece to the puzzle. So I'm sure the phone is ringing, but that doesn't mean there are meaningful conversations going on. That doesn't mean any of that, because I still think that at this moment right now, the Browns, even after the Radio Row blitz and Super Bowl Sunday interview, I still think that they are determined not to trade Myles Garrett.
So at what point would they get to where they would be willing to trade Myles Garrett?
Well, I think there's a lot of time before that's going to happen. I don't think that anything's going to happen at the Combine, where a lot of business is done. Plenty of trades take place right there in Indianapolis, or at least the framework of trades take place right there in Indianapolis, which we're all leaving there a week from Monday, for there a week from Monday. So that's one inflection point right there. But I don't see it happening there. I think the Browns are going to stick to their guns as long as they possibly can. And we heard Myles say the other day that he's willing to do whatever it takes. That means he's willing to let this thing get ugly if it has to. I don't know what the Browns have the stomach for at this point. I don't know if they're willing to let him sit out, you know, two games, three games, four games, the season, whatever it takes. I suppose if someone came along with a crazy offer that absolutely knocked their socks off and it made sense as an organization, that they would change their minds. But that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a changing of their minds right now.
I get nervous about is I try to think of the tools Myles has at his disposal to try to force the action here. And one of them is for him just to become a really bad, a bad resident of Northeast Ohio. I don't know if he's willing to do that, but he's got to, him and his team certainly know that the more pressure they put on the city make it untenable for him, you know, to be here as it is. And I also think about from a Browns perspective, like, yeah, if he is not playing in games, if he's not showing up to camp, if he's not showing up to practice and he's willing to absorb the penalties, what does that do to the Browns mindset?
Well, once again, it remains to be seen. A lot can happen. A lot can happen between now and the beginning of the season. And I actually talked to Joe Thomas about this the other day, and he offered, I thought, a lot of really good, valuable insight. And he was saying, if the Browns show with their actions that they mean business here and that they get a good veteran quarterback and they go out and they draft a Shador or a Cam, and then you back that up with the money to Myles, which the veteran defensive end market is going to climb to about $40 million a year by the end of the season or by the start of the season. If some of those things happen, then perhaps Myles changes his mind about wanting to be traded, because there would be a lot worse places you could go than being here in Cleveland with a much better quarterback and some other key pieces that you are certainly going to add. He keeps saying that they have given him the impression, or they're not aligned with winning. But that is contrary to everything that I've talked to anyone in the organization about in terms of winning in 2025. Maybe they're not going to win a Super Bowl, but they are certainly determined to go out there and win as many games as they possibly can.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Travis Kelce, I have to ask you this real quick. There's an out there. He would be 36. If he still wanted to continue his career, would the Browns be interested in him?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose it depends on what they see on the tape. And if they feel that, you know, he can still do all of those Travis Kelce things to a great extent, then perhaps they would be interested in him. It certainly would be a fantastic marketing tool, that's for sure. It would bring a lot of attention to the team, hometown player, and all of those kinds of things. I certainly think it would be worth looking into.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. Again, very sorry about the technical issues, and we'll have them rectified by next Thursday. Thank you.
This sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
All right, let's do this because we're going to switch things up a little bit. We were hoping to have Chris Rose at 1 o'clock, but no, Chris Rose is here now because he wants to talk to you.
Hi,
and
Chris.
We want to talk to our good friend, Chris Rose, who hosted the Cleveland Sports Awards last week. He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hi, buddy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, oh, we're good.
Great job, Super Bowl postgame. I enjoyed it immensely. You were very good.
Much appreciated. It's always fun. Those are the two best hours we have on our, in my opinion, on our network all year, because it's awesome to hear from guys whose lives change in front of your eyes, right? A.J. Yeah. Brown rolls up and he's got his two kids in his lap, and Saquon, a guy who for 6 years up in New York played in two total playoff games, and now he's been one of the great free agent signings in the history of that sport. And you'd see a big sigh of relief with, you know, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, you know, guys who were kind of had their feet held to the fire over the last couple of years. So there were some really, really cool moments, I'd say.
I thought it was cool that Sirianni's little kid could spell Eagles. I was very impressed with that.
And I was impressed with the people who were able to bleep out all of Darius Slay's comments in the second go round.
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest with you. I don't know what world we live in. Like, it is, if it's cable and it's a lot of the clips are on social media, who cares?
Exactly right.
People, like, if for people who say, well, what am I supposed to tell my kids? Go parent them. If you don't want them listening to that sort of stuff, that's fine. Whatever. I mean, your kids won't spontaneously combust if they hear a bad word. I promise you. And they weren't the worst words, you know.
No, they weren't. They weren't the really nasty ones.
Right, exactly. They were the more mild, if we're going to break it down four-letter word by four-letter word.
Were your coworkers surprised at the way the game went?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Even the most ardent Eagles fan, maybe not surprised they won, but the way they dismantled Kansas City, when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes in the same breath, stats-wise, as Rex Grossman, you're like, what? Timeout, what? Like, is that really possible?
That was a funny line you had, by the way, about that.
Like, yeah, it was really numbing, because even when Kansas City has lost in recent years, very rarely have they looked like this. Now, in Super Bowl 55, they did. We knew that they had massive problems along that offensive line. But, you know, and here to some degree, obviously they did when you're kicking Tooney, who's one of the great guards, out to tackle. But he had held up very well there, you know, until the Super Bowl. And the Eagles, it was very formulaic in terms of, like, the win that they had in Super Bowl 52 and then again in 59. Different defensive coordinator, but, you know, a similar mindset from the attack standpoint. And the fact that they didn't have to truly blitz to get this thing done was, I thought that was obviously the story of the game.
Chris, what can Browns fans learn from that game about their organization and how to get better?
Wow.
Drop that one on you, didn't he?
Well,
if you think about it for just a second, right? Jalen Hurts, if you remember, he was a second-round pick.
Late.
And he was drafted when they had just paid Carson Wentz.
Yep.
So you would have figured that they were kind of settled at the quarterback position, but then they figured, well, no, we kind of like what he brings. And then in year two, he becomes the full-time starter, and they move forward, and they trade Wentz and the whole bit. Obviously, it starts there. And I don't know if that means trying to go get Kirk Cousins as a stopgap. I don't know if that means Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders at two. I don't know if that means Jackson Dart at 33. But they've got to get a new plan. They have to get a new plan. And it's also one of the many reasons why you don't want to trade Myles Garrett. I mean, look at what the Eagles were able to do. They have some really talented guys up there on that defensive front. Yep. Nobody is close to what Myles Garrett is. So you'll be chasing it. I mean, if you do draft Abdul Carter, you know, is he 70% of Myles Garrett out the gate? I don't know. And who knows what he turns into. But he's not 275 pounds that moves like that. I can tell you that. Like, those are one-offs. Those are guys who just don't come into the league very often. So I think we just have to be really careful with that. And we have to start nailing more than one draft pick per draft. The teams that do it well, like the Eagles, get multiple guys in every year that aren't just contributors, but big-time contributors. I mean, you didn't even hear Mitchell's name called on Sunday because I don't think they tested him at all. You heard of Cooper DeJean because he came up with the big pick six, but geez, Mitchell was, that guy was a blanket. So we got to get better in the draft. We just do.
The Myles Garrett, I would like to go to a Super Bowl team tour, was something to watch, and it just kept gaining steam. And I kept thinking, okay, I understand you want to go. How can the team possibly trade him and make it work, Chris? That's going to be a stunning thing to watch. I can't imagine that they can.
Well, would you expect it either?
You expect him to be a Brown next year? I do.
Yeah, I would say right now, yes, I would expect it. Because even if you trade him, you're not going to get anywhere close to what his value is, right? We talked about this, I think, quickly last week, that defensive players these days don't get two first-round picks, particularly when they're almost 30 years old. Like, yes, the Chiefs got a ton of draft capital for Tyreek Hill, but he wasn't 30 years old when they traded him. I don't see teams giving up multiple first rounders for him, which is kind of the starting point,
yeah.
I would think. You know, not the ending point. I think that's the starting point for a guy that's that good. So I would expect them to be able to work it out. It just doesn't feel like it right now in the early parts of February. It feels like they're years apart, but that's because we don't play a game next week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I want to throw this one at you because a lot of people are going, oh, this game's, I was on social media, oh, this game's horrible, it's putting me to sleep, blah, 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 blah. 127.7 million viewers, up 3%. Yeah. And by the way, halftime, I think, was like 133-something. And so yeah. Your thoughts on, you know, despite the fact that it wasn't the greatest game ever, the numbers are gigantic.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's, right, that's the sport. That's why Netflix paid what Netflix paid for two games on Christmas Day. I mean, that's exactly why. And, you know, for people that aren't our age, guys, this was the norm for Super Bowls in the 80s in terms of how it turned out. Like, we would just get
right.
Blowout after blowout. We'd be like, oh, my God, are we ever going to get a good one? And we've been really fortunate in that it feels like pretty much in the last 15 Super Bowls, most of them have been pretty entertaining. Not all, but most of them have been. And this one just wasn't. And it's too bad that it wasn't.
Did you hear any good quarterback rumblings while you were working the Super Bowl?
No, I mean, that's going to happen in a couple weeks when I go to Indianapolis for the combine. And obviously I'm going to have my ears open. And, you know, I'll talk to a lot of people. I haven't talked to a lot of evaluators that say that those guys are worthy of the one and two picks like we seemingly have most years. You know, there's a lot of people who say that they wouldn't even have been in the top six of the quarterbacks. Remember last year we had six quarterbacks go in the top 12 picks. You know, you're trying to figure out where did these guys slot in. Are they as good as Michael Penix, who was drafted at 8? Are they as good as J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix, who was drafted at 12? I haven't found a lot of people who say that anybody was better than Bo Nix going into the NFL draft. But that might change. We'll see.
Chris, not that a Cleveland Heights guy wants to hear what a Shaker Heights guy thinks, but if you're Travis Kelce, are you retiring?
Wow.
I had to say it, you know. I wasn't going to walk away from that.
Well, I'm a university school guy, first and foremost.
Yeah,
I have
but your place of residence while growing up was Shaker Heights. Am I incorrect in that or no?
Yeah, no, you nailed that.
Okay.
Here's the thing I've learned is that it's not anybody's job. People can have an opinion on it. Oh, he's washed. He wasn't into it. Blah, blah, blah. Who the hell knows how he feels? One thing about Travis Kelce is he has been remarkably durable at a very difficult position, right? It's very physical there. And who knows? I sit here and wonder, does he want to put in all the work it takes just to try and get back to that game yet again? Because anything short of playing in a Super Bowl and winning it is really challenging for these guys emotionally that have been there so many times.
And then on the other side of it, I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to cut you off. Finish that thought. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, on the other side, we were thinking, man, I wonder if Jason was saying, oh, I just retired a year too early. Like, we wondered if he had regret afterwards.
Buyer's remorse. No, I don't think so. I mean, Travis Kelce, he must feel like he's playing pickleball compared to what his brother did. Like, you know,
true.
Like it's nice and easy compared to being in the middle of that line and doing that tush push where tons and tons of human being ends up on top of you. So I can't imagine. I think once you're done, you're done. He got his ring. He's going to go into Canton, and now he's off to an amazing start in a media career. So I have to imagine that he's feeling just fine with where he is.
I would think so too. Chris Rose joining us from the NFL Network. Things happen quickly. As you said, you're off to the combine coming up. Free agency starts in, a month from today. I think legal tampering begins. I love that aspect of it. Do you, and your thought about the draft picks, Chris, clearly spot on. With that in mind, do you think the Browns are extremely active in free agency or just active in free agency?
Well, I mean, they've got a clear space. Let's start with that. So we're going to know how many spots they're going to have to fill based on what they do, right? There's, you know, go to overthecap.com if you want to try and see pre-June 1st, post-June 1st designations, how much money there is in terms of cap space savings, dead money that gets put on your bill if we release certain guys. So, you know, you're going to have to start connecting some dots. That's the first thing. Because we are on the wrong side of it right now, as far as cap space goes. So I think we're going to have to nail the draft, guys. That's what I really believe. I think you're going to see a lot of young guys that are on this team. And, you know, Cleveland has been a really interesting place the last few years because we paid so many veterans big money. You didn't need a lot out of guys. And the middle round picks, over the last 4 years, some of them never developed into anything here, right? Anthony Schwartz, third rounder. Tommy Togiai, who actually ended up getting some burn down there in Houston, a fourth rounder. Siaki Ika, a third rounder. I mean, he barely suited up. Those are the areas where we're missing out because those are guys that you can eventually replace when you can't afford to pay to keep all of your good players, or you have to move on from good players and cut them, because inevitably that's what happens, right?
Like, right.
Take real quickly, Kansas City couldn't afford to pay Juan Thornhill, who had a nice start to his career out there. They were like, okay, that's one of the guys who we cannot keep.
Yeah,
we'd love him. He'd be a nice luxury. They drafted Brian Cook, who I believe came out of Cincinnati, and he was the next guy in line. Well, the Browns haven't had a lot of those young guys. So, like, Cedric Tillman's got to be the next guy in line when we can't afford to keep certain wide receivers or had to trade a guy like Amari Cooper.
Chris, as always, we enjoy talking to you. Thanks for joining us a little bit early today. We appreciate that.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Sounded like I was the announcer on the dating game there, Andy. Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premier sports viewing destination. And then afterwards, a new car. Oh, wait a minute, that wasn't the dating game.
Was I doing the right music? Was that the dating game?
Yeah, I think it is.
They used all kinds of Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Wasn't that what it was?
I think that was the right song.
I think it was, too. And then everybody blows a big kiss at the end of the show, right?
Jim Lang. L.A. DJ.
And then there were, like, a ton of celebrities that ended up. Like, Jim Carrey was on the show at one point.
Steve Martin was on it back in the day.
Could you imagine, like, going back and watching a rerun going...
Ted Bundy was on it. Oops. Farrah Fawcett was on it. Yeah. Hey, you just won a date with Ted Bundy.
Sorry.
Tom Selleck was on it.
Oh, 216-474-0092. Jeff, I don't know what's sillier, that or the thought of Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback of the Browns. You laid out
information.
Yeah, you laid out information.
Keep in mind, I'm not pushing for any of these guys. This little shtick we're doing is just to provide us with information and talking points. We'd like everybody to weigh in. I think the Browns would be moronic to sign Aaron Rodgers. I think there are better options. And I think it would just be an absolute nightmare for the guys who are trying to save their jobs next year.
Is there anybody that thinks Aaron Rodgers is a good idea? I'll give you the floor. If you think it's a good idea,
convince us.
216-474-0092. That said, doesn't it feel like if they bring in a veteran, Kirk Cousins is the lead horse here?
I would think so.
Okay.
You want something interesting here?
No, I want something extremely boring that's going to put me to sleep.
Well, we do that most days anyway.
Right. That's what everyone says.
Yep.
Oh, wait. There go my batteries. That was a great commercial. That Tom Brady.
Yeah, that was funny. Was
good. Yep.
On the Pro Football Talk, our buddy Mike Florio. Steelers are the early betting favorites for the next Aaron Rodgers destination.
I can't see that working at all.
Can you imagine Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he made it through Antonio Brown. He's made it through George Pickens. I think this one would break Mike Tomlin. I think Aaron Rodgers might break Mike Tomlin. That would be the reason, if you are anti-Stefanski, that's your reason why you want Aaron Rodgers here. It's only if you're anti-Stefanski. You're like, I want this guy out of here. What's the easiest way to do it? I know what I'll do.
Second leading team to get the Raiders.
How about the Raiders? Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders, number two.
The Raiders. I'm
betting. I got it.
Thank you. Sorry. Slip of the tongue. I could see Pete Carroll dealing with Aaron Rodgers.
I can totally see him going to the Raiders.
Dano?
Yeah?
49ers are third.
Hold on, we'll get an official quote from Kyle Shanahan.
Florio wrote this. If you trust us on anything, trust us on this, he will not be a 49er. And then I love it when Florio's with us.
Although, you know, he would probably love to play there, right?
Well, yeah, he's from Northern California.
Yeah, I mean.
He said, and then Florio wrote, in the odds, the fourth team. Next come the Vikings, in parentheses, he wrote, please, God, no. And then fifth, the Titans. Rams are sixth at 10-1. Giants are seventh at 12-1. So the Browns aren't even in the top seven here. So I don't think we have much to...
I'm telling you, that's... The New York Post has different odds. I'm going to read this to you in a second. Jason's in Strongsville. Jason, are you in on Aaron Rodgers to the Browns?
Good afternoon, fellas. I sure am. I am a transplanted Green Bay fan, second team after the Browns moved on us. I had to go with Brett Favre. So let's look at Green Bay. 30 years of good quarterback history. Sure, it's been up and down, but we need that here in Cleveland. Draft A-Rod, have him mold the guy we draft, whether it's Warren or Sanders. And use Rodgers' knowledge and try to keep the junk off the sidelines and see what happens with them. And Miles might stay, too.
Well, Jason, I would like you to meet Dan Menigan, who is also in your shoes as a huge Packers fan, as well as a Browns fan. What is your retort to Mr. Jason, fellow Packer fan?
I don't think you can separate both sides of Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there is a way that you could go, hey, buddy, help mold this guy and work with him and all of that stuff without also getting, hey, have you looked into if the world is flat or the moon landing or if the earth actually has the sun revolving around it? I don't think there's a way to separate those two things.
I think that might be true, but 41 quarterbacks in, I think we might want to try it.
That's actually an argument. I'll listen to that argument.
That's where I say they could do worse.
And could odds are, worse. Jason, he would probably be your neighbor because you live in Strongsville, right?
Yes, sir.
That's where they all go.
I know where he's moving. Start the rumors.
I don't know. I haven't checked on it. Did somebody cut the grass?
Thank you, Jason. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
You too. Jason from Strongsville, advocate for Aaron Rodgers to the Browns. Jeff, so you were, where were the odds you were getting? Where were those from?
Florio got him, and where was he reading them from? I don't know. I was
probably
just,
an offshore bookie.
Yeah, I was just reading Mike's story on it.
We'll go
with offshore betting site.
Let's do that.
Okay, well, the Post has one from an onshore, and they're saying Aaron Rodgers. And so who was the leader in there? Was it Steelers still?
Steelers
yeah. On this one, too. Who was the second? Raiders?
Steelers, Raiders, 49ers.
Okay, so they're in the same boat. Vikings was plus 400. Are these similar? This had the Browns at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, so
14 to 1.
Those might be the exact same odds.
Okay, so I thought I had something different than you did. 14 to 1. Odds on Aaron Rodgers coming. I just can't see it. I just don't see it.
I can't either. I just... There's
why
so,
the
there's
Steelers?
So much,
I don't...
You know why?
Help me.
I would say the Steelers are the leader there because they think that he could go into that situation and actually work with Mike Tomlin because of the way Mike operates.
Is Russell Wilson then history? Or is that, are we?
It would appear that Russell Wilson is history there. I would think there's a great chance he gets reunited in Vegas with Pete Carroll. See, there are going to be some things that happen in free agency in the NFL that people are going to we're going to get blown away by this stuff.
Like what? What are you predicting here, then?
Like, for instance, Aaron Rodgers could end up being somebody's starting quarterback next year, like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that could happen. I think Sam Darnold could end up becoming the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. We're forgetting about, you know, the 2,000-pound monster in the corner. The New York Giants are sitting there at number 3 in the draft, and they need a quarterback. Are they going to go out and try and sign Sam Darnold? Are they going to try and make do with, you know, a veteran for a while? Or are they going to go ahead and pick somebody at 3? Or, Andy, I don't want to get you too excited here. Dan, could you get the drool cup, put it under Andy's chin, please?
What do you got?
The Giants just might love Shedeur Sanders so much they make a trade up to number 2. And the Browns pick up more assets to drop down one spot and still get the guy they want.
Sorry. Just taking my cup over here. Just making sure that happens. Wouldn't
you love that? You would love that.
I'm not against Shedeur Sanders. They better be right. Otherwise, we're right back where we started.
That's perfect.
It's not against Shedeur Sanders.
It's against any quarterback in this draft, Andy.
Yeah, I just don't want to see them draft a quarterback at 2 because it has to do with pressure.
Why do you think that?
Because what will happen is they will bring a quarterback. It doesn't matter if they bring in Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Jacoby Brissett. It doesn't matter. They will get the chance to go out there maybe for 1 or 2 games and start. And if they lose one of those 2 games and they throw 3 picks in one of those 2 games, they'll be like, got to get Sanders out on the field now. Why are we paying for this guy? Why did we draft him at number 2? I don't care if he's ready or not. Get him out there. What's a better way to get him ready than just tell him to go out there and get beat up? First of all, I don't believe Kevin Stefanski thinks that way. And if that happens, Kevin's 100% gone. I just think Kevin is way smarter than that when it comes to what's going on with the quarterback situation. And, you know, but the question is it going to be from Kevin or is it going to be groupthink that says we've got to get our number 2 drafted quarterback out on the field? That's my problem. My problem is that if this is a draft where the quarterbacks aren't that good and we're sticking a quarterback at number 2 that you're going to draft and you throw him out on the field too soon, who knows what that guy could have been?
You know, you just said something and you're saying what everybody is saying. And so I don't know if it's right or wrong where you just said where the quarterbacks aren't supposed to be that good. That's what we're hearing. That's what we're reading. You know, that's what the scouts are saying. I get
Jeff,
all that.
I'm asking guys that I think are unbelievably optimistic.
I know, but, Andy,
the year.
It only takes one quarterback to be pretty good. And there's only one that could possibly be drafted ahead of the Browns if the Titans want to go quarterback. So, I mean, there's a chance that the guy is sitting there at two, Ward or Sanders or Milroe or whoever you want, Jackson Dart, and they become really good. And that's where it comes down to what I've said, what you've said. They've got to figure this out and make sure they draft somebody, if they take a quarterback, who they think is really good. There's no room here for, yeah, you know, we'll take a shot at it. I read something yesterday, and ESPN put out a thought for every team for 2025. And for the upcoming season. And it said for the Browns, and we haven't talked much about this because this is like keep your fingers crossed, close your eyes, and throw the dart at the dartboard and hope to hit the bullseye. And it said something about Myles Garrett and his trade request, and you can move him and pick up more assets to go for 2025 in the draft, in 2026 draft, and bring a Manning to Cleveland to team with family friend Jimmy and D. Haslam. You know, I don't know that this team can do that or not. If ownership allows them to, they can try. But, you know, so there are more options even than just this year.
I don't know why. It's heavy sigh for me.
The Baskin sigh. It lives.
All right. We got a couple of people on the phone lines that want to talk about this. Aaron Rodgers thing. We'll do that. I have a super interesting story for you.
Okay.
That just happened that's going to blow your mind away.
Okay.
And it was with Pete downstairs. So I'll tell you what that is. Okay. I don't know if it's going to blow your mind away. It's a good story. All right. Let's do that when we come back. 216-474-0092. Baskin Phelps 92.3 The Fan.
You and I talked for like 3 seconds about the Matt Stafford thing today.
Yeah.
And so to watch it unfold today, and it is just the quarterback of the day. This is not, I'm not going to end up criticizing somebody for doing the quarterback of the day, because that's what this offseason is going to be, right? Maybe tomorrow it's Kirk Cousins again. Maybe Thursday it's Shador again or Cam Ward. Like that's just every time there's going to be a report on a quarterback or something alluding to a quarterback that might be available or that is available, we're going to have the conversation because that's a choose your own adventure offseason, which the Browns seem to be in the most grandest and scariest way possible.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear the positioning of Matt Stafford today, it sure seemed like people understood the brand name that is Matt Stafford, but maybe didn't understand where Matt Stafford is now. It all ties back to his wife's podcast, which we're actually going to play the clip coming up in about 15 minutes. But it's just interesting. Like, I tend to think the Rams and Matt Stafford are in the midst of a contractual squabble, and that maybe his wife is putting a little heat on the team by being vague and being subliminal, which I think is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the end, Matt Stafford's going to be in L.A.
Yeah.
But it's been wild to hear Matt Stafford is some sort of miracle salve at 37 years old to save the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, I like us starting the convo at the point of we both don't think Matthew Stafford's going to be anywhere but Los Angeles next year.
Yes.
Because I think he has got to be out of his mind if he thinks leaving that division where you take on Kyler Murray, Geno, and Brock Purdy, and then going to, let's say, the AFC North where you take on Lamar and Joe Burrow. There's no way he thinks leaving a dome stadium with Sean McVay and that division and the quarterbacks you play is anywhere in his best interest to leaving and going. Even like I saw at the same time Ken and Anthony were talking about it this morning, I got one of the push notifications from Odyssey, and our friends in New York on the Fan there were talking about it, and they're like, will he go to the Giants? It's like, well, good luck in that division. That doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, I think LA makes the most sense. Also, it's a big risk at 37 to try a new team for that next step, right? The older you get, and we're seeing it with Aaron Rodgers. Now, granted, he popped his Achilles. That's probably a huge reason why things haven't worked out, that and him being a nut job in New York. But, like, I just, once you get over a certain age, if you can have your druthers, if you get to choose, Take $3 million left to stay in a place that you're comfortable with mm-hmm. players that you know, with a head coach that is thought of by a lot to be the best head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, not just a whatever head coach, one of the very best offensive minds the game has.
And I think what's interesting about it is, because I think on any given day, the conversation about what you need out of quarterback changes. And the reality is, I don't think it changes for the Cleveland Browns, right? But, okay, it only changes for the Cleveland Browns depending on what your intentions are for the 2025 season.
Yeah, I think Miles changes the discourse in some ways.
Well, so if you are going through a prolonged rebuild, which means it's going to be 2025 and probably 2026, where those that, you know, this year's the lean year and the next year's about, all right, we've drafted well, now we get the quarterback and now we're learning, right? A learn year. And that can, but sometimes, by the way, that can be what Washington had, or not Washington, sorry, what Houston had with D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud 2 years ago, where it just was the right time, right player, you know, all that kind of thing. So just because I'm saying a prolonged rebuild, it doesn't mean you couldn't contend. And when I say contend, I mean contend for the playoffs in 2026. But all of this should be going somewhere. And I have problems looking at where Matt Stafford was with a team that was better than the Browns were. They had a better defense. They're a bit younger. They have better weapons. Just a better situation overall. I have a problem looking at him and going like he's the savior. But I think today, and this is where it's a choose-your-own conversation with the Browns, today It sure feels like people are like, well, he's better than what you had last year.
We've got a long list of people that can be better than what we had last year, if that's the starting point.
Well, and again, you're still viewing it in a one-year prism. And I think those two things, like, there's a part of me that thinks if I'm not fait accompli, the Browns are just going to go 5-12 next year no matter what they do. I could see them doctoring this thing up and getting a Kirk Cousins or a Matt Stafford or a veteran quarterback of some repute, even though they might be closer to wash than not, and fixing up this roster for a year and do the Joe Flacco thing, right? Maybe even better than the Joe Flacco thing because you were a 500 team until Joe came along. I can see that happening. That's not really what the goal should be anymore for the Cleveland Browns. I think the first 5 years have shown, all right, you can win here. Now, for your next magic trick, mm-hmm. I need to see sustained winning, and I think that's what's so tough when we start to look at Matt Stafford as fitting here. Is Matt Stafford the guy that's going to be able to be here for the next 3 to 4 years and lead you to back-to-back winning seasons for the first the season since 1988, 1999? Because if the answer is no, then I'm out, no matter who the damn quarterback's name is.
Okay, but I like that you bring up the Joe Flacco year, because that is what has saved Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. If Joe Flacco never existed, I don't know that the two of them have a job today. Like, I'm not even going to call it impressive, but like the amount of winning they did and the way that they did it. And so I do wonder, the way I wonder with all these moves, how it directly goes back to Andrew Berry. But let's focus in on Stafford here. Do you think Stafford can win anywhere close to double-digit games next year with the Cleveland Browns?
No, and I think people saying that are thinking of the Matt Stafford before he had the injury that cost him more than half the season 3 years ago.
That's where I'm at as well. I don't think Matthew Stafford's the same Matthew Stafford. I don't think enough people have... he still had a good year, and they had really bad offensive line. For the first 10 weeks of the season, their offensive line was as bad as the Browns' offensive line, because every time I looked at the Browns' offensive line and the grades, it was them, and it was the Rams. It was awful, and they turned that around, and by the end of the season, they got to be a threat, clearly. They were 2 minutes away from the NFC title game. They turned it around, but I just don't know that this Browns team is set up, even with Matthew Stafford, to win double-digit games. But I get why, the same way I entertained the Trevor Lawrence discussion yesterday, I get why people are seeking a little bit more than the other quarterbacks that we've talked about. And Matthew Stafford, in my eyes, at least is a better discussion than Daniel Jones. Yeah. And that's where I think people latch on to.
I think that's fair. I'll just say this. Like, his numbers were worse than Aaron Rodgers last year. All I've heard is that Aaron Rodgers is some sort of cosmic slappy, which I'd have my opinions on Aaron. Aaron threw for more touchdowns, eight more touchdowns.
Aaron's numbers weren't the problem last year. He had a lot of his numbers were good. I told you in talking about Josh Allen with the MVP, you can line up his numbers, not the aggregate numbers, because that's where it gets a little muddied, but his numbers were very solid.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is, if to me, if we're saying yes to Matt Stafford, I think you have to be yes in some degree, or yes with conditions, to Aaron Rodgers. Like, I put them in the same bucket. Then I put Kirk Cousins, Russ Wilson, and Derek Carr into this bucket. And then there's Daniel Jones and the other Slappy Jones, McCorkle Jones, as he's known to us God-fearing men. And there's
is that just
guy.
Us? Are we that group? I don't know.
Which part?
The McCorkle elitists.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But like, I put Stafford and Rodgers into the same conversation of, well, it's better than what you have. My problem is it effectively the Russ Wilson thing? Is it a bridge to another bridge? Like, is he going to get a year into this, have success, the narrative's changed on him, and then he'll be like, all right, I've changed the narrative on myself. That was fun. I'm now going off to retirement.
I don't think either one of them are playing beyond maybe even next season.
Yeah, yeah. I think, well, and even if they play for 2 years, you're just going to be in the same damn place 2 years.
High probability Aaron Rodgers, if he plays another season, this next year is going to be his last. Matthew Stafford, 1 year, 2 years, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, he's up there.
And Stafford, I know
a lot of injuries, he's up there.
I know Aaron last year was coming off the Achilles. I know he's had injuries. Nobody's been more beat up in their career than Matt.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt's played for
10 years in Detroit will do that to you.
Matt's played, 15 years? And I think he's played in front of 3 good offensive lines. And all of it was getting his ass beat on turf, which hurts just a little bit more.
Yeah.
When you're home for half the time.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to how bad that O-line was in the first 10 weeks of the season for the Rams. They were putrid.
Like, on one hand, would I be happy to hear Matt Stafford is the Browns quarterback next year? Yeah, I like the guy. I like the guy. I think he's a good quarterback. I think fans here would turn on Kelly Stafford very, very quickly.
I don't know. I told you. I like her podcast.
Here's the thing. She can say whatever the hell she wants.
She's got some charisma.
Like, this idea that she has to be like a Stepford wife. No, she's a Stafford wife. All right? Those two things are very different. She can do whatever the hell she wants. But I don't know it'll play here, given it feels a little circusy compared to the last two circuses we've been in. But man, if I'm going to say, like, I get the fundamental idea behind Aaron Rodgers, yeah, I get the fundamental idea behind Matthew Stafford. I just don't know it fixes what ultimately is your problem, which is sustainable winning. So if this is about saving Andrew Berry's job, cool, bro, this might work out. If 8 or 9 wins is going to win your job, because I think that's where Matt Stafford gets you next year.
I agree. I think he's somewhere in that bucket. I just think for Browns fans, you're just looking at a pile of crap off to the side, and you're like, oh, this isn't that. This is something we can actually get excited about. And
he's,
I think they just leap towards it.
He's better than Deshaun Watson. Well, sign me up and
I mean, that's how low the bar is, though. And think about it. We've had all sorts of conversations about how next year we might get to a spot this offseason, where it doesn't even matter who the quarterback is for next year. We'll just be like, they're all in the same grouping. It doesn't really matter. They're not going to do anything. That's one edge of the spectrum that we've talked about. Now, the other edge is obviously you keep Miles, you make some trades, you make some big additions, and you really make a run at it. But yeah, I get why Matthew Stafford's exciting to people. I would put it at about a 1% chance of happening, though.
216-474-0092. We got quick hits coming up in about 25 minutes here with the latest with the Gardos, a little bit of Myles Garrett adjacent news as well. But then we got John Fanta, Cleveland's own college basketball on Fox, hardcore Cleveland sports enthusiast. We're starting a weekly with him today at 4 o'clock. Albert Breer, our weekly at 5:20. We'll get his thoughts on how certain he is that Myles Garrett will be a Cleveland Brown in 2024 and 2025, because that's the year now. But 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When you hear the name Matthew Stafford, what does that evoke for you? Do you think Matt Stafford can be the guy to pull the nose up on the Cleveland Browns and get them back to respectability? And the only question, and this is every single name we come up with a quarterback, this is the only question that should matter, or at least start the conversation for the Cleveland Browns in 2025. We'll tell you what it is in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Albert Breer of the MMQB joins us right now. Albert, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, living the dream out here, talking, trading Myles Garrett and going 3-14 again. You know, the good stuff, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seems like everything's business as usual there, right?
It certainly does. I'm curious, how certain are you Myles Garrett will or won't be a Cleveland Brown in 2025?
I'll be honest, I don't know. I mean, I don't
I don't have much intention to trade him. Now, I mean, look, like, everybody's got a price, right? Like, so I don't think it's impossible. You know, I think both sides are sort of dug in now, and we'll see what happens. You know, I think Miles is being genuine when he says, yeah, he wants to go win a Super Bowl somewhere, you know, and he wants to have a chance to compete on the highest, highest level on the big stages, all of that, you know. And he's, it's not like a lot of guys who got careers like him, and there aren't that many, but, you know, you accomplish all these individual goals, and I think for a lot of those guys, sometimes that stuff, after you've done it, starts to feel a little empty, you know, without, you know, having at least been to the biggest stages, the championship games, the Super Bowls, all of that. So, you know, I think the best way for the Browns to get Miles back on board is to act with some urgency. The one thing I don't think he'll be on board with is some 2 or 3 year plan. You know what I mean? Like, he's at the point of his career where you don't know how much time you have left. And so, you know, I think the best thing they can do is to get him back and, you know, to a point where he's all in with Cleveland is to show him a fast path out of where they are right now and to a level that they haven't been since the Browns came back into the league in 1999.
Yeah, Albert, I guess I would ask, like, what does that look like? Because I think most people listening say, well, the fastest path is draft a quarterback at number 2 and hope that they become Jaden Daniels. But Miles was pretty vocal during Super Bowl week that he doesn't want to go down that road with somebody that may become a franchise quarterback. He wants someone that already is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I guess trading for Matthew Stafford, I don't know. You know, those options are obviously limited, and you can't control them because you don't. And look, like, I think, you know, the timing of having the number 2 pick isn't great either if you're looking for a quarterback. You know, Tennessee's wrestling with the same thing, which is, I don't know if these two guys that everybody's talking about would have been even first-round picks last year. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, you just have to sort of stay loose and be ready for opportunities as they come. And, you know, the one guy you could see coming available this year who is capable of getting a team to that level would be Stafford. And he played well enough, I think, to win a couple playoff games this year and get the team to the NFC title game. Now, it didn't happen in the end in the snow against the Eagles, but he had them right there. And they came closer than anybody else to beating Philly, you know, and again, did it as a team from Los Angeles in a snowstorm on the road. You know, but I think the best thing to do for them right now is to just sort of stay loose and wait for that sort of opportunity to come between now and the start of the league here, knowing there's no guarantee that happens.
So with that, I think, because Stafford's 37, but why would Stafford be available? Should we be a little leery about that, given that that would be Sean McVay, the guy who, if he's done with you, that makes me a little scary at least?
No, I don't think Sean's done with him. I think Sean wants him back. The contract situation is tricky, though, you know. And so I think where the Rams are right now, you have to look at it on timelines. They gave Matthew Stafford a $5 million raise last year, moving $4 million from 2025 and $1 million from 2026 up. And so, and they guaranteed all his money for 24 and took out the guarantees for 25 with the agreement. We're going to revisit after the year. So he's now in the books for $4 million less than he initially was for 2025. They've agreed to revisit it. But what if he asks for a huge commitment? What if he's not willing to commit to playing, say, the next 3 years? That's where I think the rubber hits the road with the Rams, where it's like, okay, like, well, this team over here is offering a first-round pick. Maybe we should just do that, you know? So I think that that's sort of where the Rams and Stafford are at right now. And you know, they've got a really young team. And if they don't think they're going to compete for a Super Bowl next year, well, then doing a one-year thing with your quarterback, your very expensive quarterback, might not make the most sense. And that's why I say timelines are important there. Again, like, the hard thing for the Browns fan base, the hard thing for Myles Garrett, is there really isn't any guarantee that something like that's going to come available. So, yeah, I suppose you just sort of have to stay loose for the opportunity if it does come along.
Yeah, one other name that might interest Miles, and I don't think it's
realistic, but I want to bring it to you. Aaron Rodgers, the odds of Aaron Rodgers actually ending up with the Browns, it seems rather unlikely. Do you have that same read as well, or should we be putting more stock into it?
Say it again. Sorry, I missed the first part of that.
No, just Aaron Rodgers and the idea that whether Browns fans and really the Browns in general should be entertaining that more, or is it really unrealistic? Because the way I see it, Albert, I think it's pretty unrealistic. I don't think he would come here in his if he's got one more year, two more years left. But maybe I'm underplaying that.
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, the money part of it depends. Makes it interesting. And it's the same thing with Stafford, you know. And obviously then you really are pushing all your chips in for a single year. You know, you can't count on anything when a guy's that age past a single year. But he did play better at the end of the year. There was a game against Jacksonville where, you know, I think you saw some signs that the old rearing is there. And, you know, like having that injury, coming off that injury for an older quarterback when it's to your plant foot, I think it's the same thing Cousins dealt with where that's a really difficult thing, you know. So, I don't know. I don't think it's impossible. Like that would be an option. If you could tell Aaron, like, hey, you know, we'll bring in Devontae Adams with you and we'll be able to do a few things. We'll mortgage our future a little bit and go all in on our core right now. Well, you know, that could be like a two birds with one stone type of solution.
Albert, we've talked about, I think Browns fans might be a little tired because they don't know if they're going to try and win next year or not. They don't know if Miles is going to be here or not. The quarterback conversation is all over the place. Yet for JP and I, especially as a fan, like I think this is so much more of an interesting offseason than they've been the last 3 years. Do you think the Browns are one of the more interesting teams in the NFL this year, given that variance of potential outcomes of this offseason?
Sure. I mean, I think what they do at quarterback's fascinating, you know, and I think the important thing to remember, guys, is like, I the way I look at it, like they were going to do something. And I told you guys this 2 months ago, they were going to do something regardless at quarterback, you know, like they were not going to just stamp out with Deshaun. And so like now the door is open, you know? So, okay. Like what do you do now going forward? And, you know, I think they have to be open to all of these different options. You know, I said with the Rams, like timelines are important here. You know, I think the Steelers are sort of in the same situation where it's like they've got like some really good players that are in the prime of their career. Both the Steelers and Browns are in this situation. It's almost the reverse of the Rams, where it's like, can we get good enough fast enough to compete while these guys still have something left in the tank, you know? And one way to do that would be to go and get a quarterback who's capable of playing at the highest level. Now, whether or not you think Rodgers can still get there is a matter of opinion. Can Cousins get you there? There were some people who thought he was done at the end of last year. But you know, he's got the same thing where he could bounce back off the Achilles after a second year. They're a very intriguing team for that reason. I think they're an intriguing team because they do have talent there, and there are a bunch of guys in that roster who've been a part of multiple playoff teams.
Albert, whose stock rose more with the Super Bowl? Was it Sirianni or was it Jalen Hurts?
I think both. I mean, I don't know. Like, I know that's sort of a cop-out, but, you know, I think Sirianni has been underappreciated for a while. And, you know, I think he's finally getting his due, and I think people look at him because he doesn't call plays and because he carries himself the way that he does. It's like, well, this guy doesn't, like, have the job that some of the guys I really like as a coach. That doesn't have the same – doesn't handle his job the same way. And he comes off as different, so they have a hard time kind of wrapping their arms around him. I mean, he's a really good coach. You know what I mean? Like, and he has been. And you don't go 48-20 in the NFL over a four-year period without being really good. And you look at the situation he took over, guys, like, took over a 4-1 team that was going through a quarterback transition. He's been, since then, playoffs, Super Bowl, 10-1 start and collapse, and then bounce back and win the Super Bowl after the year after that. I mean, how many people have had a four-year start like that? Anyone?
Mm-mm. Maybe John Madden 50
I mean,
years
it's,
ago.
It's a wild
Belichick,
start.
Belichick maybe in New England, right? Like, but I mean, it's really mind-blowing. Now, I would say this, like, that
this was a total organizational triumph. These Eagles are at the top of the league in so many different ways. You know, and I think, like, Hurts, like, maybe still have the questions because there's so much around him and all of that. But I don't think you'd argue the guy's a winner. You know, like, he performs at his best in the best in the biggest spots over and over and over again. You have to give him his credit, you know. Like, maybe he doesn't do it the same way some other guys do it. I'm not telling you I'd pick him over Mahomes or Burrow or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. But once you get past those four, I don't know. I mean, I think he's pretty high on the list now.
Albert, who do you think is more likely to be back in the Super Bowl next year, Kansas City or Philly? Yeah, gotcha, didn't I?
I'm going to say Philly because of the conference. I think the Chiefs are really good and will be back on that stage again. I look at their competition, and, I mean, there's a ton of pressure on Cincinnati to spend now, being put on by the quarterback himself, right? Baltimore's really good. I mean, the Bills are really good. The Chargers are coming. The Broncos are coming. The Texans are coming. It's a gauntlet just to get to the Super Bowl, whereas in the NFC, even the best teams, like the Niners, the Rams, you know, over the last few years have questions. And the Packers are going to be really good. The Lions lost a half dozen coaches, you know? So, I mean, I think the Eagles maybe have the better opportunity just because of the conference. And that's probably a cop-out, right? Like, say, explaining it that way, but I think that's sort of what it is.
Albert, does Travis Kelce retire?
So I heard a month ago that this is going to be it for him. Then he came out and said the Super Bowl is going to keep playing. So now I don't know what to think. But, I do think he's one of these guys where I don't know if he wants to go out like that. You know what I mean? He doesn't have anything to prove to anybody. But I do think the idea of winning four appealed to him. I think if they had won, like, I think there's a really good chance he walks away. It's taken a lot for him to get through these seasons, you know? I think he's got one more in him. I think he's got one more in him.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Reports are out there that Matt Patricia has been in Columbus interviewing for the Ohio State defensive coordinator job. You have the New England tie. You have the Columbus tie here. What are your thoughts on the potential fit?
Yeah, I think it could be a good one. You know, I'll give you guys some background on Matt like that. I think it'll be interesting for you to hear. I think he's really worked on a lot of different things over the last year. With the Eagles situation last year, I think he really grew from it. The reason why is because he had to go in and see it done a different way, working for Nick Sirianni. He had to go in and patch up some, you know, prior relationships from Detroit, Darius Slay. He had to call a defense that wasn't his own. And I think that made it borderline impossible because, you know, when you're calling, you know, a scheme that's not yours, you don't know where the answers are. And that's really difficult, you know. So, you know, I think he did his best, but that was a really tough spot to be in. And I think when you get put in a position like that, you really grow from it. And I saw something on Saturday that I'll let you guys in on. I haven't told anybody else, but I think it's an important piece of nuance. I was at the Eagles Hotel on Saturday, day before the game, right? I saw Matt Patricia there. And that tells me that he's still on really good terms with those guys. You know what I mean? Like, that tells me it ended well. And I know Matt pretty well, and he has not told me one way or the other the way it ended in Philly. But yeah, I know he's a really good guy. People that know him really like him. Things went wrong in Detroit, no question about that. But I think he's learned a lot. I think he's incredibly, incredibly intelligent. And I think he'd be a great hire for my alma mater. I hope we get him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you saw Chip Kelly going to the Raiders as the ROC. Do you feel like, you know, Alabama for years was just kind of the place that people went to rehab their image for a season and then went back to the NFL or just got their
possibly,
first?
Yeah.
It's not
a bad place to be, right? Not a bad place to be. And I would say this, like a lot of those old Patriot guys have connections to Ryan Day. So I do think those relationships being there really help, you know. And so I know Ryan and Matt, you know, have been able to strike up a friendship, and look, like, this is a great example, like, of Nick Saban feasted on distressed assets over the years. And this could be a good example of Ryan Day starting to do it between, you know, what he did with Chip last year, and maybe now what he's going to be able to do with Matt, hopefully, in 2025. And here's the other thing. I don't think it hurts that Matt Patricia runs a system that is not unlike Nick Saban's. And you got a pretty good player down there in Columbus who may have played for Nick Saban a couple of years ago. So I'd imagine he'd be pretty happy about Matt Patricia landing there too.
Albert Breer of the MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Are you relieved that you got like a couple weeks in between the Super Bowl and the Combine? Or is there no rest for the wicked?
No, it used to be 3.5 weeks. This sucks. it's every year I think about that, you know. So, I mean, I love my job and everything else, but it is hard. Like, you know, I had that conversation with my wife earlier today where it's like, she's like, when are you going to Indianapolis again? I'm like, 2 weeks from yesterday. And and then it's like, for how long? 6 nights. And so, like, I think you can imagine. She's great about my job. She understands my job. But I'd imagine, like, she's like, oh, yeah, like, that's right. So, anyway, it's what we all signed up for, right?
Yep. I have that same conversation with my wife every year when I go to the cabin with my best friends. Every year, the same 3 fights. We have them in the exact same order, and yet I still go to the cabin. I still stay married, so I must be doing something right. Albert, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
You too, buddy. Albert Breer there, MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert gave us a little inside skinny on Ohio State and Matt Patricia and his thoughts on the Browns and Myles Garrett situation. That's coming up in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.